Said chapter 10 of Job, verse 11 and 12, he said, "Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me in with bones and sinew. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit." Amen. There are times when you feel like you're just about to go under, and God will visit you, and God will show up, and His visitation will preserve your spirit. And you may still have sickness in your body, and you may still have trouble in your life, and you may still be going through the same thing that you had been going through, but all of a sudden there's strength, and there's power, and there's ability, and there's hope, and there's faith that causes you to know that this too shall pass, and when it does, I'm still going to be standing here. Amen. So God visited Job and gave him strength to stand through that storm, and stand he did. Amen. Praise God. Thank God, because He helps us. In the time of our trouble, God shows up. Isaiah, and in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Hosea, all of these talk about another kind of visitation when God showed up. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1 through 3, he said, "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and write grievousness, which they have prescribed to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they do rob the fatherless." We see that happening, don't we? We see injustice, even in our own nation. We see people not doing right. Don't let me tell you something. God's going to come calling one of these days. And when He does, it's not going to be good for those that have mistreated those weak ones and those weary ones and those needy ones. We got to be careful about how we treat other people. You hear what I said? You better be careful. Jesus said, "When you have done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me." Amen. Sometimes I get weary. People coming and having needs, and you give, and you give, and you give, and you give, and you give. Amen. And you just keep on giving. And something I never want to happen to me, I don't ever want to get hardening of the giver. I said, I don't ever want to get hardening of the giver. That's a sure death. If you get to the place where you can't give anymore, then you're pretty much done. Amen. You got to keep giving. It's not easy. Amen. Amen. But you just keep giving. Brother Grissom, you know what they're going to do with it. Well, that may be, but that's between them and God. That's between them and God. All I know is what they told me. All I know is what they told me. And I'm acting in good faith. Amen. And I'm doing what I feel the Lord would have me to do. Praise God. Amen. And you know what? The Bible said if I don't have anything but a cup of cold water and I give it to them in Jesus' name, He said, I'm going to get a reward for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to get a reward for that. Amen. So he said, if you rob the widows and you rob the fatherless, and he said in verse 3, he said, "And what will you do in the day of visitation?" When I come calling, amen. One of these days, He's going to come calling. He said, "And in desolation which shall come from far, to whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory?" Amen. You know what happened? Not long after Isaiah said that, visitation came. Visitation came. Amen. If you know a little bit about Bible history, you know that in 606 B.C., God used Assyria, sent the Assyrians against Samaria and against Israel, the country, the nation of Israel. And they were taken into captivity. And everything they had was laid level. And those 10 tribes, we to this day, only God knows where they are. But God does know. But he's the only one. They're dispersed throughout the nations of the earth. Amen. In 606, what did I say earlier? It was 686 whenever Assyria came, and 606 and 586 both, whenever the Babylonians came against Judah, those two tribes. And again, they destroyed the cities and salted the fields and took the people into captivity. Because when God come visiting, he said, you have disgraced the land. You have disgraced him. And God gave a long list of grievances about what had been done. You gotta understand, when God does something, folks, he's not just doing it out of spite. Amen. Every one of us, when we see injustice, we all have that same feeling. Somebody ought to do something about that. And God's going to. You hang on. Amen. God's going to. He's going to set it all right. There's some big boys out there we can't seem to take care of, but I promise you, they're going to be taken care of. Amen. There's some wickedness and evilness in high places that you and I cannot get to. But I promise you, there's going to come a day that God is going to come visiting, and it's going to be set right. Amen. Well, it seems like they're getting away with it. It may seem like it. I'm going to tell you something. You know, even though people may seem to be doing well, it don't mean they're doing well at all. I'm going to tell you what doing well is. Doing well is having peace inside. Having peace in your family. Having your children saved. Having your children love you. Having your family love you. And you love your family. That's what doing well is. When you can't stand one another living in the same house, and you're tearing one another to shreds, and in public you got to put on a face. But when you get behind closed doors, you snarl and snare and hate one another, and you're bitter and you bicker and you can't get along. Amen. You see, that's not peace, and that's not good. Amen. I don't care how big the house is. I don't care if it's got golden fixtures. I don't care how many fancy cars are in the garage. It doesn't matter what kind of labels are in your clothes. It doesn't matter who your shelf is. It doesn't matter if your name's on the marquee. If you don't have peace, and you don't have righteousness, and you don't have joy, you don't have anything. One young man said it well recently. He said, some people are so poor, all they have is money. You can have billions and be poor. Amen. Praise God. And so God shows up. God visits. Amen. And when he comes, amen, it's an exciting time, isn't it? God shows up. Amen. I love this verse here in the book of Micah. The prophet Micah chapter 7 and verse number 2 said, the good man is perished out of the earth. And there's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. They do evil with both hands earnestly. Isn't that something? I mean, one hand's not enough. They got both hands. And they're doing evil with each one. The prince asketh, the judge asketh for a reward. And the great man, he uttered his mischievous desires. So they wrap it up. And the best of them is a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and the visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. God said, it looks like they're in control. But I've got a day that I'm going to show up. I've got a time that I'm going to show up. I've got it marked on my calendar. And one of these days, I'm going to come forth. He said, trust ye not in a friend, put not confidence in the guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in their bosom. And he said, you can't even trust your wife. That's scary, huh? For the son dishonoreth his father, the daughter riseth up against the mother, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore I look unto the Lord, I wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. How many believe that? My God will hear me. And then he said, oh, we love this verse. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Hallelujah. Heaven, you got to understand when it gets bad. He said, don't you be smiling. Don't you be sneering. Don't you be thinking that it's all going to go your way. One of these days, my friend, my God's going to show up. And when he does, he's going to set all the wrong right. And his light's going to pierce the darkness. And every deed's going to be revealed. And everybody's going to be able to see. Amen. And then he said, I will bear, but I say, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. Now what that verse is saying is that we may have to endure some things. God's with you. We may have to put up with some stuff. We may have to go through some things. Amen. Hear me today. Don't you get too much confidence in your bank account. Amen. You may be looking good right now. You may have a lot of zeros behind those numbers. And you may think I'm set for life and I'm comfortable now. Amen. Don't you trust in your riches. Don't you trust in your bank account. Don't you trust in your social security. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Don't you trust in Obamacare. Amen. Don't you get your confidence in any of that stuff. Don't you trust in your 501s and all the rest of them. Don't you trust in that. You better keep your confidence in God. That might be there. That might not be there. I hope it is. I don't want you to suffer. I don't want to suffer. But if all of that passes away, then he's been faithful. He's been faithful to me. Hallelujah. Amen. He's going to keep us in the time of trouble. Praise the Lord. Everybody wants to have a miracle, but nobody wants to see any trouble for it to happen. Amen. Praise God. Everybody wants God to miraculously put money in your bank account, but you don't want to be in need for him to do it. You just want him to add to what you already got. Nobody wants daily bread. Hey, we sure don't want day old bread. Amen. We want enough for the week and for the month and really for the rest of our life. Amen. But I say, I'm telling you, he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. You can trust him. He'll be there. He's not going to let you down. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But there's a day of visitation. You may have to endure some things, but there's a day of visitation when God shows up. This verse I read to you from the book of Luke chapter 19, it's what theologians call the triumphal entry. It was prophesied in the book of Zechariah that the king would come riding on the back of a donkey. And, you know, it's really the only time in the Bible we know of. Now, I don't know. I'm not saying Jesus didn't ride any beast in the Bible, but it's the only time we know of that he did. And so one day Jesus told his disciples, it's at the end of his life. Now, Jesus had 3 years of ministry. The first year we call the year of obscurity because he wasn't well known, but it only took him 1 year to get really well known. And the second year is called the year of popularity because everybody loved him and everybody wanted him. And then the third year was the third year of opposition. And, of course, the last week is the week of Passion. That's when it all culminates. But Jesus rides into the city, and he tells his disciples, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. Now, this is a neat story. He said, you go to Jerusalem, and he said, when you get there, there's going to be this donkey tied there. And you bring him to me. And if somebody tries to stop you, you just tell them, say, the master has need of him. Amen. Now, Brother Holly taught us years ago. He said, God knows who to give the donkeys to. Amen. Pray it. God knows who to give the donkeys to. Amen. And all they had to say was, the master has need. And he said, well, you just take him right on. Then. Amen. If God gives you a donkey, he might be asking for it back someday. He might need it for a little ride. If God puts some money in your account, he might need that to help somebody else down the road. Amen. Praise God. It would be good for us not to fall into the trap of spending everything we make. Ooh, that went over like a lead balloon or ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It'd be good to have a little set aside to help somebody else. Amen. Praise God. And you that need some help today, it'd be good for you to set some aside to help somebody else. You don't want to get in just the habit of just getting and not giving. Say it again. You don't want to get in the habit of just getting and not giving. I'll tell you why. You know what? You know why they call the Dead Sea the Dead Sea? Because nothing lives in it. You know why nothing lives in it? Because everything goes into it and nothing goes out of it. It receives, but it doesn't give. And because it only receives, everything that flows into it becomes stagnant and dies. If you just receive and don't give, you'll get stagnant and you'll die. Nothing can live in you. You'll be a stinker. You'll get an old stinking attitude. You'll get an old entitlement mentality that everybody owes you something. Boy, that's good preaching, Brother Grissom. My goodness, you need to say that on the national scene. Praise God. Amen. Anyway, you didn't know that was in Matthew 19, did you? But it's in there somewhere. So he said, you just said, my master needs a donkey, and they'll give him to you. So sure enough, they come back, Brother Bacon, they had the donkey with them. And Jesus, somebody said that they took the coat off and put it on there for a saddle. And Jesus sat down on that donkey and he started riding to Jerusalem. And here it is. You see, people that knew the Bible, and they did know. And when they saw him come down from the Mount of Olives and descending, riding on the back of that donkey, the Bible said when they saw him, they began to say, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The word Hosanna means save now, Lord. Save now. And so as he comes down, and the Bible said people literally would take off their coats, their outer garments, and they would put them on the ground so that the donkey would walk over them. And they took palms off of the fronds off of the palm trees, and they began to wave those. And they were saying, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And it was thunderous praise, and the multitudes were praising him, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees became jealous and became angry at that. They should have known better than anybody else what was going on. If anybody knew the scriptures, they knew the scriptures. God sent the Savior, but it wasn't the Savior they wanted. Amen. They wanted a different kind of Savior. There's a whole lot of people want to be saved but don't want to change their life. Amen. God's an inconvenience to some people because He doesn't let you live like you want to live and do what you want to do. Amen. He comes in and He expects to be Lord of your life, and He expects you to live under His will and His subject. Amen. So because of that, amen, that he was, some rejected Him. And they said, Lord, get control of these people. And Jesus said, if I were to get these people to stop, He said, the very rocks would begin to cry out. Because this is one of those moments when God has come to visit. Now, a lot of people recognized it. And they gave voice to it. And they gave in to it. Amen. And so Jesus rides in, and the tragic thing is that so many rejected Him. So many rejected Him. And verse 41 said, and when He was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it. Everybody say, He wept over it. It moved Him. It moved Him. He saw something that others could not see. He said, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day. Everybody say, this thy day. In other words, the day that I've come calling, the day that I've come to visit you, if you just would have known that, the thing which belonged unto thy peace, but now they're hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round about and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Amen. Jesus said, I came. What was it John said? He said, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Amen. Praise God. But the many did not recognize His visitation. He came. He came. And instead of making it the capital that it could have been, it became ruins. It's important here tonight that you know the time of your visitation. It's important that you know the time of your visitation. Amen. Praise. Now, I believe God's come calling here tonight in this service. I think He's here. Brother Bacon, He was here when you first opened this service. He's been here. Many of you have already received the great touch from the Lord. I believe somebody's received healing here tonight in this service. Amen. God has showed up in this place. He's visiting here tonight. Amen. I'm asking you a question. Do you know the time of your visitation? Let's stand together right now. Amen. Praise God. Again, Jesus showed up at Laodicea. Amen. That church in Revelation, one of the cities in Asia Minor. And He said to that city, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Everybody say, He knocks. Now let me tell you something about God. He's a gentleman. He's not going to break into your life. He's not going to make you do something, but He's going to knock. And He said, if you will open, I will come in. If you will open, I will come in. Amen. I believe tonight that Jesus is in this place, and He's knocking on some hearts right now. He's saying, would you let me in? Would you just open the door and let me in? Hey, amen. I want to visit with you tonight. I want to spend some time. I want to feed you. I want to help you. Some of you tonight, you've got wounds in your heart. You've got wounds in your life. They're deep and they're hurtful. And they bother you a lot. Jesus is saying, if you just let me in, I can heal that. I can take away the pain, and all you'll have is a scar, a memory of what happened one time. But if you'll let me in, I can give you peace, and I can give you joy. Amen. Some you struggle with a habit. Amen. It's like chains, and you can't seem to be free. He said, but if you'll let me in, I can bring freedom and liberty and deliverance with me. I can bring salvation, and I can set you free. If you'll just recognize the knock on the door, and you'll let me in. Amen. Would you come tonight? Can you hear him? Can you hear him? Don't turn him away. Please. Please don't turn him away. Don't recognize. Well, I'll do it next service, preacher. Well, I don't know if we'll have another service. I think we will. I hope we will. But I can't guarantee it. And if we do, I can't promise you'll be here. Amen. So if you're wise, you'll listen tonight. Praise God. Can you hear him? I want to visit with you. Don't turn him away. Don't close the door. Don't lock it. Don't shut him out. Amen. Open that door as wide as you can. Amen. Receive him with open arms tonight. And I promise you, your life will be so much better than you ever dreamed that it could be. You have no idea how good life can be if you'll just let Jesus in. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Come on, everybody. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody, respond tonight. If you're sitting on your pew, you ought to have your hands up. You ought to have your heart open. Amen. You ought to be in prayer right now.